It's Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, my name is AKA Money Ron. I will be in your company for the next half hour as we discuss some amazing youth doing big things all across the world, especially amazing St. Lucians doing things across the world. Gotta say a special thank you, of course, to our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank that you need. Gotta say a special good afternoon to my guest this afternoon. He goes by the name of Mr. Galen Brown. Galen, thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, man. Much appreciated.
Yeah, man. Now, let me tell you, we have a lot to talk about. Now, for people who might not know you, do you want to just give them a basic background of who you are?
Yeah, sure. Well, I am a St. Lucian, born and raised. Went to St. Mary's College. Shout out to all my Sumerians.
Yeah, but before, I have to disturb you. Every time I talk to a fellow Sumerian, I have to ask the big question. What house?
Oh, I was in Tapo.
Ah, okay, Lapo House. Okay, you could continue now.
we actually did pretty well in my time, just in the last few years. But yeah, you know, Tapo Lapo, it is what it is. It makes you stronger, you know, it builds character. So I went to St. Mary's. I left St. Mary's in 2012, graduated there. Then I went to Canada for school. Studied economics at Western University. I graduated in 2017. When I was at Western, I was very much involved with the Caribbean student body there. Worked with the Caribbean Students Organization and eventually became its president in my last year of school. And that helped me really build a strong regional network. You know what I mean? I did a good job of being a very sociable person when I was in St. Lucia, and those skills, those social skills, definitely helped me out when I went to university. And I was able to build a very strong Caribbean network, you know, people from Jamaica, Antigua, Barbados, Grenada, Trinidad, all over St. Kitts. And then when I moved to Toronto after graduation to pursue a career in the music industry as an A&R and manager, I ended up as well creating an event promotion company that focuses on doing Caribbean events, because I felt like there was just something missing in the city, you know, in really downtown Toronto. Didn't have the level and quality of Caribbean events I would see in places like Scarborough and Mississauga and other places. So I wanted to bring that downtown, bring that vibe to downtown Toronto. And I launched this company called Safe House. And, you know, we've done really good things since launching. We grew from 200 people to over 1,000 in attendance at our events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything I've been doing has almost always been Caribbean-centric. I think the love I have for my culture and my people, you know, has just always led me down great things and exciting things. And I wanted to combine, you know, my love for Caribbean culture and the region and my love for music, and create a platform that celebrates and promotes and highlights Caribbean artistry. And I decided to even go beyond just music and just, you know, promote Caribbean creativity in all its forms, you know, painting, photography, film, videography, everything. So that is what Rum Media is. And Rum Media is a Caribbean media company that focuses on highlighting and promoting Caribbean creativity and providing, you know, a taste of the intoxicating culture that we have.
I like the way that you use it, intoxicating, and you know that word is very synonymous with Caribbean culture. Quite apart from that, before we even dive down into your company or your companies, let's talk about what was it like, you know, at Western University, because you did get an honors, you graduated with honors in global economics. What was that like, and how did you, you know, develop that love or choose to study economics?
Well, so this is the part my parents are going to be probably not going to like if they listen to this interview. But I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really want to study economics. You know, as Caribbean people, you grew up trying to be as academic as possible, because that's a core value to most households, you know, getting a good education. And, you know, that usually leads to a certain level of success. I think I lost my love for education and traditional learning by the time I got into university. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to do engineering. I lost the passion to study hard enough to get into engineering. And frankly, and eventually I was just like, okay, well, let me do something that is very broad, but still has a certain sort of prestige to it. So I was like, all right, let me try economics. I like business. I like the core aspects of economics. I said, let me just give it a try. And I survived. I got through.
And bro, you did not survive. You graduated with honors. That's not surviving. That's surviving and building another plane and helping like something else. But that's amazing, though. Was it a big... Do you think that because you found the love along the way, that's why you were able to graduate with honors?
I think being able to graduate with honors was... a lot to do with my pride. I was a very good student when I was at SMC, and I still have a certain, pride and mm-hmm. maybe a bit of arrogance when it comes to my intellect and, you know, making sure that I can at least walk into a room and hold a conversation and be willing to learn and take on a challenge as well. That it was a challenging degree. It definitely was a challenging degree, and I think I would be letting myself down, not just my family, but myself down, if I didn't really, you know, push as hard as I could and gain as much as I could out of it. You know, even if I didn't really want to do it per se, there are things and valuable lessons and valuable knowledge that I learned, you know, by doing my best. You know what I mean? Doing my best and doing it to the best of my abilities. So it really is... It really was just a motivating thing. I think it was a lot. In fact, I would say the biggest thing that got me through that is the fact that I was able to humble myself and remember that there are people that I went to school with at St. Mary's that didn't have that same opportunity to study at an institution like Western University, and they would be killing it if they were here in my place. So I can't waste that opportunity and just decide I'm not going to get good grades or I'm not going to do my best. You know, that was really what was in the back of my head the whole time. Like my friends that I knew, you know, who may not just have the money or the resources to be able to get that level of education. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I had to remember that and just check myself and be like, you know what, let's just get it done. Even if you don't want this. We want to do this. You don't like to go to class, whatever it is. Let's get this done. You have a good opportunity. Let's not waste it.
Kudos to you. And I hope that a lot of people listening, even those, because I think even people who are probably born with a silver spoon or maybe a little brass spoon in their mouth, they tend to forget that other people are not so privileged and how privileged they are. So kudos to you for letting yourself, you know, so high and not just saying, well, you know, I can afford it anyway. So kudos to you. And I hope that could be an example to a lot of the people listening. Now, let's talk about your tenure as, I guess, the president of the Caribbean Students Organization. How did you get involved in that? Because you spoke briefly about that when we started the interview. But how did you get involved with the Caribbean Students Organization?
I was kind of thrown into it. A friend of mine was already involved, and she was already at the school, and once she knew I was coming, she was like, I'm making you a member immediately, and you have no choice. You're gonna be a member and you're gonna be doing this and da da da. And I was just like, all right, whatever, no problem. And you know, it what a life-changing experience it was, man. Mm-hmm. I made so many connections. I made so many lifelong relationships. I've met some of my best friends through that club, truly. And I started off as the social coordinator, I guess. So I was...
Mr. Fett, basically.
Yeah, basically. I was like, okay, well, you know, let me get the people involved. Let me, you know, help recruit new members, basically. You know, anybody that's in first year, I would go with the first year rep to try and find new members to join the club. I would help organize any of all our socials and activities. And I definitely leaned more towards the parties because naturally I was kind of a heavy partier before coming to Western. And then that led me into becoming the VP of events. And then I was then more in charge of, you know, the larger scale events that we are doing, the parties, any kind of festival and concerts and shows that we had. We had a yearly show called Culture Show. So big VP events, I was in charge of executing and producing that show. And then as president, I didn't really think I would be president at all. I thought it would go to somebody else. And they ended up graduating earlier. And, you know, the president at the time really would have preferred if it wasn't them, it would be me. And, you know, I went up for the role and, you know, I just took it. I just, you know, grabbed it by the horns. And it was very challenging because it is the third largest club at Western University. Wow. So with usually over 200 plus members,
wow.
You know, and these are people from all around the Caribbean. So you're dealing with different people. You're learning new Caribbean culture and this and that and communicating with various people. And you're also managing a team of students, you know, who all have their own schedules and their own lives and their own things that they want to do. And you're managing a team of 10 to 12, sometimes even 13 people, and still trying to provide those experiences for the student campus. You have to deal with, you know, university politics and all kinds of stuff. So it really gave me, you know, a lot of valuable experience when it comes to leadership, when it comes to just dealing with people, and also when it comes to just executing events and ideas on a much larger scale.
That's amazing. Now, before we even move into after you left Western to go do your A&R, because I'm very interested in knowing how that happened, I'm also interested in finding out how were you able to balance this heavy organization, because I know it was a lot of responsibility, and also your degree.
I would say that the honest answer is that I was a crammer for my work, in all honesty, but it was a test. It was a test of, you know, you need time management skills. In fact, I would say university is 70% time management skills, 30% hard work. Because, you know, you're not only managing your time of, you know, going to this class, doing this work, doing that work, you're managing a social life. You know what I mean? You're in a environment where you don't have your parents around you. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of people you want to meet, and there's a bunch of stuff you want to do. And you have to manage your time well enough to be like, okay, look, like, I need to get X, X, and X done before I can go and check the fellas, you know, at this place, or go to this party, or go to this fete somewhere else. And it was just a lot of time management skills and a lot of help, you know, a lot of help. Having a really good team at Western at CSO, you know, that made it a lot easier. You know what I mean? I didn't have to be there for everything. I could rely on people to make certain types of decisions. I could rely on people to get things done. And definitely the support of even your fellow students, you know, mm-hmm. and classmates when it comes to classwork and that kind of stuff. Sometimes you can't make every class. You're going to have to make friends in a class to be like, hey, you know, can you let me know what we did in class today? Can I come study with you and see your notes, you know? So I would say my advice to everybody who is pursuing tertiary education, especially in a foreign university or college, make friends. I know it can be tough because there's a culture shock that you have to go through. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's also racial prejudice that you have to experience and these kinds of things. But I would say do your best to be brave and make friends, because it makes your life not just more enjoyable, but a lot easier when you're studying.
True, but very well said, especially to those listening who have intentions on moving on to study at a tertiary level. Let's move on to your A&R stint. How did that happen? Because, I mean, you studied economics, global economics, and now you're doing A&R.
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't have a huge passion for economics. I think I grew to like it as I was doing it. And when I learned, you know, how important it was to, you know, our global society. But I knew I didn't really want to work in it. I've always had a very creative side to me. I think it's just sort of been masked and suppressed by pursuing a lot of academic things instead of really tapping in and being brave enough to tap into my creative side. So I have always had a very, very strong, passionate love for music. But I couldn't sing, and I don't think I could play well. So I was trying to figure out how, is there some way I can get involved in this? And I listened to an interview on Rap Radar, and it was with Travis Scott's A&R. His name is Sycamore, and he is actually a Trinidadian-born guy who moved to New York when I think he was about 7. And grew up and was became like a DJ, mixtape DJ. And he was one of the first guys, you know, burning mixtapes and selling them on the streets and in certain record stores and that kind of stuff. And that's how he got into the music and, you know, has worked with Nicki Minaj earlier on in her career. Then worked with, he worked with YG and a bunch of people at Def Jam. And, you know, eventually started working with Travis Scott and is a major reason as to why Travis Scott is as big as he is today. So just hearing his journey and his process and hearing somebody that who also loved music but wasn't the artist and wasn't the producer, and you know, but still figured out their way to be creative and involved in a lot of the creative process as well as the business aspect of it, it was just like, you know, I don't know, it was just like a blessing that I saw that interview and I was like, oh wait, there is a path for me. You know, I'll be honest, I felt very lost towards the end of my university career. I definitely probably went through some serious depression at that time because, you know, you go through all this and you're like, what the hell do I do next? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an adult. I have to pay bills. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. And when I found that out, I said, you know what? One life to live. Let me just go after this. And it's been a journey. The music industry is one of the hardest industries to get into. I think people overlook it because of the glitz and the glamour and the attention that it gets, but it truly is one of the most complex and difficult industries to work in. You know, you're dealing with people of all different types. Dealing with creatives is not easy at all. You know,
I laugh because as a creative, I definitely understand what you mean.
100%. And luckily, I'm a creative person myself, yeah. So I think I was able to have the empathy required to deal with very, very creative people. You know, like almost Kanye level, like creative genius type thing. And It can be tough, but it's very rewarding when you know you're in that process and you see, you know, a record go from just ideation and freestyling to being completely done and released to the world and people loving it and sharing it, and you know, you're part of that whole experience. So it's been a journey. I currently work with two artists, both from Toronto. One is a Bengali Australian that lives in Toronto, and then the other one is a Cameroonian guy who also lives in Toronto. So they're both immigrants, both have very unique stories and life experiences, and that translates into their work, and just both very talented guys in various ways. And so it's been a tough journey sort of going down that path of being an A&R and really more in even management now. That's kind of how things have just turned, but I'm still within that A&R capacity with both of them.
What has been like your highest moment in A&R when you realize that, yes, I definitely made the right choice?
Matt, do I even know if I've even gotten there yet? That's the thing. Do I even know? I mean, I think seeing one of the artists I work with, his name is Adib, seeing him perform and seeing how the crowd sort of connected with his performance, that was one of the most incredible moments I've seen. It was just so raw and instantaneous, and he just brought out an energy that everybody in the space, you know, it wasn't a ton of people, but they all loved what he was doing, and they all loved his music and connected with him immediately and felt his energy and reciprocated that energy. That was an experience where I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I can't even imagine what this is going to feel like when we're doing arenas in Europe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I think with Jay, who is the other artist I work with, it's really seeing and being involved in the process of an entire project with him, you know, from helping to write records to coming up with the marketing strategy and everything, and just getting those small but very important wins, you know what I mean? Landing on that specific playlist or getting this look from a specific person, or, you know what I mean? Just really the love you get from a lot of people DMing you, a lot of people sending emails back through a mailing list. You know, just seeing genuinely people responding to something you helped, you know, get out into the world is that, I think those experiences have at least kept me wanting to continue mm-hmm. down this path.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. Now, you're back at home for, I guess, for a little stint, just to chill and get your head back in the right space. I guess that you've made yourself familiar with the music industry in St. Lucia. What tips would you leave for some of the artists who are pursuing a career full time? What observations have you made that you could tell them, hey, you guys need to work on X, Y, Z? Like maybe like three pointers.
I love that question, actually. It's a difficult question, but I also don't like holding my tongue when it comes to this, because I'd rather...
Hey, your things aren't good, but behind your back, you know they're good.
Know what I mean? Like, I hate that so much. Because there's a lot of talent here, and there's a lot of passion for creativity here. I think the most major thing I would say is a lot more artists are pursuing or are trying to make hip hop music or hip hop oriented music, and I think a mistake that everybody is making is trying to sound American instead of just being either St. Lucian, or if I have this slight recommendation, if you're so uncomfortable with your St. Lucian accent, which I don't think you should be. I think there's a lane that I have to give credit to my guys, Lucity. I think there's a lane for, you know, St. Lucian hip hop, Creole hip hop, like hip hop with patois and those kinds of cadences, because that's what everybody was doing when I was in college. We were freestyling with in patois and saying, you know, freestyling with our accents. You know, the conversations were Lucian, the topics were Lucian, the everything that we are talking about was Lucian, and you felt it. You know what I mean? You were connected with it. Everybody is trying to make the same type of hip hop music that Americans are making, and I don't think it connects as well. It may sound catchy and nice, but I think if people, you know, really try to make it more authentic, it would go further. And if you really aren't comfortable with your accent, I think a great suggestion is try a UK accent instead, because our natural sort of speech leans more towards a UK accent than an American accent.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I would just tell everybody, yo, if you like hip hop music but you don't really want to be Lucian, try going on a UK route. That you're gonna be able to sort of use that accent and develop that accent a lot easier than America. And guess what? The UK has a big Caribbean market. You're better off trying to tap into that market than trying to tap into America that has 400 million people. You know what I mean? The UK has a strong Caribbean influence. There's a lot of St. Lucians up there. There are a lot of St. Lucians doing very good things up there. Shout out to my guy, Jay Lucia.
Yeah, Jay Lucian, you know? Jen. You Jen. Also have DJ,
Jen, exactly.
You
Jen
have
is a
DJ,
perfect example.
Yeah, you also have like DJ Target on BBC. You have Trevor Nelson, who comes from a St. Lucian background.
100%.
Let me tell you, we have some amazing St. Lucians doing some 100%. Big things that we don't even know.
And we don't know. So I think you know, I understand why people would lead towards American accent, but try the UK, you know, go towards more that route if you really want to go down there. But I would say, you know, just hone your St. Lucian accent and figure out your own sound, figure out your own hip-hop, Lucian, Caribbean sound, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of potential there to connect with not just St. Lucians, but French people and the whole Caribbean.
Yeah, true. Now, that was one very valid point. I did ask for three. I don't know if
for
you have
three.
Two more.
Yeah, I would say the other three are learn the music business. Learn what it is to have distribution. Learn how to promote your music. Learn what publishing is. Learn what royalties are. Learn the different aspects of the music business, because at the end of the day, it is a business. And if you don't know how these things work, you could get screwed over by multiple people. You know, unfortunately, this industry does have a reputation of people, you know, taking advantage of people. And the only way to do that, to avoid that, is by educating yourself. So learn the music business and get on TikTok.
Wow.
It's the most basic. It's the most basic industry recommendation, but in all honesty, get on TikTok. Like, if you have music, get on TikTok. There are people on it. You know, the younger generation, which are the consumers you want for your music, because they'll grow with you as you grow as an artist, they're on TikTok. So figure out your way of getting involved on TikTok and social media in general. If you're not social media savvy, it's very difficult to make it as an artist.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. Now, you also run, I mean, we have like just about 3 minutes left. We have so much more to talk about.
No problem.
But let's see what we can talk about really quick with the Safe House, Rum Media, some of the challenges that you've been posed with running those companies.
Yeah, well, Rum Media is so new that I'm even okay with the fact that there isn't really much to necessarily talk about there. I'd actually rather show and prove when it comes to Rum Media. You know, at the end of the day, it is tough to create content without having a lot of funding. So I'm kind of working on figuring out how to get that right now, aside from my own. But that's fairly limited due to the pandemic. So Rum has been a challenge in terms of really just getting the funding and being able to produce the content that I want, the level of content that I want to get out there and what we deserve, you know what I mean? What the community deserves. With Safe House, you know, events are all fun and games for most people, but they are very, very difficult to execute. You know, you can have DJs who just decide they're not pulling up to the event. You have to deal with guests and you have to deal with your performers. You have to deal with the venues. You know, my most successful event was probably my most stressful and worst event in my eyes. And we literally were at a venue that understaffed because they underestimated us. So they were severely understaffed. They didn't respond to us well when we were asking for certain things. And, you know, we are trying to cater to 1,000 people. They're not able to get their drinks, this and that. So it can be very difficult if, you know, you're not prepared or you don't have a good enough relationship with the venue to make sure they are prepared for what you say you're going to deliver. So I think you have to be a very pragmatic person. You have to have finesse and you have to just prepare as best as possible. And trust me, even when you do prepare for everything, something's going to go wrong.
Murphy's Law.
So you just have to live with it and move it. So, yeah.
Galen, thank you so much for that, you know, very interesting interview, especially the part with the advice given to young people, young musicians. I mean, that was very much an eye-opener to me too. So thank you so much to that. But Galen, of course, I wanted to take the opportunity now for you to give people your social handles, how they could get in contact with you. Maybe somebody's listening right now and they say, you know what, I would like to work with this guy. So, you know, feel free to share your socials.
Of course. My Instagram is at Galen Rayne, GALLANRAYNE. That's both my Instagram and my Twitter. And you can also check out what we're doing with Rum Media at RUM.MEDIA. That's on Instagram. And on Twitter, we are at Rum_Media.
All right. Galen, thank you so much. And we hope to, you know, hear more about you and see more from you in the coming future.
Amazing, Ron. Thank you so much for having me and very much appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you with the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank that you need.